This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To my brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace, may His blessings, may His safety be upon you all. Taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum salih al-a'mal. May Allah accept our deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our first 10 of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our last 10 of Ramadan. Tonight is the 20th night of Ramadan, at least where we are, here in Australia, in Melbourne, in the Melbourne Medina, subhanAllah. We have to be more specific, because for some others, I believe it's still the 19th night. It being the 20th night means that we are coming to the end of this 10, which means we need to package it and hand it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no greater way to package our ibadah at its end than istighfar. That we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive any mistakes in these 10. Just as inshaAllah we did at the end of the first 10. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the strength and the health and the energy for the final 10. SubhanAllah, the marathon 10. The last 10. The last third of Ramadan, which has the best nights of the year, the last 10 nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And these are nights that host the best night of the year, Laylatul Qadr, the night of power and decree and virtue. And this night could be in any one of the upcoming nights. Any one of the nights, from the 21st night up to the 30th night if Ramadan reaches its completion, or up to the 29th night if Ramadan, if Allah decrees Ramadan to be 29. Days this year. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never treated these nights like the other nights. Things changed. Things changed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the last 10 nights came, during the first 20 nights, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sleep and he used to worship. He used to have family time and he used to sleep and he used to worship. When the last 10 nights came, the hadith says he tightened his belt, meaning he stayed away from his family. And he never slept, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he never went home, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did what we call luzum al-masjid li wajhillah. He stayed in Masjid al-Nabawi for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yataharra, seeking out Laylatul Qadr. He never treated the last 10 nights of Ramadan as he treated the first 20 nights of Ramadan. And this should be a lesson for us. If we do not switch our timetables for the last 10 of Ramadan to the best of our ability, then we're not serious about the last 10 of Ramadan. And da'na min al-qawl mashghul. This statement, I'm busy, forget about it. Forget about it. My brother and sister in Islam, I said this a couple years ago in a video, and perhaps this is a good reminder for me to send it out again, and I will say it here in our Surah Yusuf session. The angel of death will visit you and you will be mashghul. You will always be mashghul. You will always be busy. You will always have something that you have to do. There will be some bill you have to pay. There will be some call you have to return. There will be some deadline you have to meet. يعني الشغل ما ينتهي. Being busy never ever comes to an end. When the angel of death comes, it won't be a case of, look, you have so many hours left, please, finish all that you have to do. Clear your timetable, pay your bills, say goodbye to who you need to say goodbye to, make up with whoever you need to make up with. If you're fighting with somebody or have a bit of distrust or a bit of turbulence between you, that angel of death will not be doing this. When the time comes, لا يستأخرون ساعة. When the ajal comes, it is not brought forward for a moment. And it's not delayed for a moment. Sa'a here, yani lahza. It's not even delayed for a moment. So please, sincere advice from a brother, to my brothers and sisters. Please, tonight, sit down. We had this discussion. Is tonight the last 10? Tomorrow the last 10? People were a bit panicky. Now they're breathing. Last 10 starts from the 21st. Use the 20th night. Use this night to ask Allah for forgiveness for the first 20 and to accept the first 20 and to forgive the mistakes of the first 20 and our weaknesses during the first 20 and the lack of diligence that we didn't apply when we could have during the first 20, and ask Allah to make يعني ختامنا مسك, to make the end to our month the best. Starting with now, with our timetables, with our plan, with our execution. If there's people who you need to meet, tell them بعدرم, بعد العيد, يوم العيد, لماذا؟ يوم العيد يا أخي. The day of Eid is to meet. Alhamdulillah, Allah قد خصص لنا يوما. He gave us a special day to meet and to exchange greetings and الأخبار وتعرف الطريقة شلونك أخبارك ما شاء الله مبادلات هذه يوم العيد. Do it on the day of Eid. But for now, أنت وربك. أنت وربك. كأنك لن تستقبل رمضان في عام جديد. يعني think about it like this. This is the urgency we need. Imagine that you will not see another Ramadan. Imagine that you receive news that this is your last Ramadan. This is how best we operate. يعني we operate like this, this urgency. Like when the doctor tells you, you know, that if you don't change your diet now, we're going to have to put you on extreme medication. Now it's urgent. It becomes serious now. Now people are changing their diets. They're making sure they take the sugars out of the home and they're doing what they need to do. Some people, they have this habit of procrastination. They don't revise before the exam. But when it's one day before the exam, now they revise. Subhanallah. Yani no phone calls, al jawal mughlaq, everything is closed. We don't sleep. We have the gahwa, we have the shai, we have everything ready. يعني ما نعرف أحد. We don't know anybody. مذاكرة طيلة الليل until the اختبار. Even when you go to the exam, they will be revising till the exam. You go to the exam, they are walking outside of the exam with the book, with the paper. يعني what are you going to learn now when you are going to go into the exam room? Nothing. But subhanAllah, some people procrastinate. Everything is lastminute.com. So how do you fix things with procrastinators? You create urgency. That is the antidote. You create urgency. So my sincere advice to you all is create urgency. Tonight, sit down and imagine urgency. Think to yourself, subhanAllah, I'm not going to meet another Ramadan. Think to yourself, subhanAllah, I am in need of freedom from the hellfire. Think to yourself, subhanAllah, so much of my Jannah is unrenovated and Allah is going to give me more than 83 years of Jannah building, Jannah renovation if I catch Laylatul Qadr. And I need it because I won't get another chance. This is creating urgency. Then sit down, وخططوا, put down the plan. How is your iftar going to be? What are you going to do before iftar? When are you going to do your adhkar? Don't do your adhkar of the evening after maghrib. Do it before maghrib. At least for the last 10, be more disciplined. Because you need all the help from the adhkar from maghrib onwards. Don't delay the adhkar. You have iftar jama'i, cancel iftar jama'i. Don't have iftar in big gatherings during these last 10 nights. I'm not trying to belittle them, but let's be honest. When we get into these big gatherings, we just eat. We don't even know we're breaking our fast. No, sit down and feel that you fasted today. يعني لابد وأن تستشعر اللحظة. You need to live the moment that I was fasting. Have a moment with Allah and break your fast. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ, that the Sa'im has two points of happiness. The first point is when they break their fast, and the second point is when they meet their Lord on the day of Qiyamah. Feel that happiness when you break your fast. Have these moments. Because if you have a great day, it will help you have a great night. Many people ask this question, كيف أستعد لي مشاهدة ليلة القدر؟ واحد ظن أقول مشاهدة أفلام أو دراما أو شيء. لا لا, مشاهدة ليلة القدر. And you want to witness ليلة القدر. Witness it, you want to live it, you want to experience it. How do I prepare for it? People ask this question. How do I have a great night? You have a great night by having a great day. If your day is good, proportionately you will see the barakah wa li'ana min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during your night. Subhanallah. Try this. Try keep your day with Allah and you will see Allah pull you through the night. Anyway, يعني لقد قلت ما قلت. I am saying what I'm saying as a message from a heart to a heart, a brother to my brothers and sisters, because I love for you what I love for myself. I love for you what I love for myself. And I'm glad we're having this discussion. How many people are going to come for Fajr? And this is healthy. This is good. This is good. Niqash Hassan. This shows that subhanAllah, fi unas, yani there's people here that are feeling the moments that are coming. And wallahi, if we don't feel it, then how can we face Allah on the day of Qiyamah? Allah gives us a gift like this. وَنَرْمِيهِ كَذَا. يعني imagine if I gift you an expensive watch or an expensive pair of glasses, designer watch, designer pair of glasses, and then I come to your home and I see it behind the sofa on the floor there or near the dustbin there, how will I feel? How would you feel if you gifted someone this and they disrespected your gift? But Allah is beyond human emotion. But this gift is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني it is from bad character, bad manners that Allah gives us a gift like the last 10 of Ramadan and we just throw it to the side. Like كأنه ليس شيئا يعني. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding and forgive us. Wallahi, do we even have time for Surah Yusuf now? Indeed we do. You have a question, my brother?
Would exercise and riyadah considered a waste of time in the last 10 nights?
Will exercise and going to the gym be considered a waste of time? If it will take you away from that which is awla, which comes first, then you should put it aside or reduce the hours of it. If you go 1 hour, go half an hour. If you do half an hour, go 20 minutes. You need to do other riyadah. There's other exercises that are needed, like with the Quran, with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, imagine my brother and sister in Islam, you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, and you one subhanallah away from Jannah. Just one subhanallah. Yani takhayyal. One alhamdulillah. Huh? One Allahu Akbar. How? Thalika wal khusran al mubin. Yani that is a great khasara, great loss. You have to think about it like this. You have to think about it like this. I don't think your muscles will suffer. يعني, Allahu a'lam, I'm not a gym enthusiast. But I don't think it will suffer so badly if you reduce your 1 hour to half an hour. They call it maintenance mode. Go and do maintenance only and come back. Jazakallahu khairah. Tayyib, let us jump into Surah Yusuf. I didn't intend this to be, subhanAllah, so long, this discussion about the last 10 of Ramadan, but khair, Allah akhtar lana. Allah chose for us the time that He chose for us, and perhaps this is testimony to how serious these nights are. How serious these nights are. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind the believers, for in these reminders are benefits. And wallahi, when I speak to you, I'm reminding myself. I took long because I'm trying to motivate myself. يعني, I'm only a human being like you. May Allah grant us Laylatul Qadr. فَنَفُوز فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. So that inshallah we succeed a great succeeding بإذن الله تعالى. Surah Yusuf, welcome to another episode from the episodes of Ramadan dedicated to Surah Yusuf, pondering over Surah Yusuf and the lessons in the 21st century. Yesterday, we discussed this idea that I titled Made to Stick. Made to Stick is the name of a book, by the way, by Chip and Dan Heath, if I recall. And they based this book after being inspired by Malcolm Gladwell's book. If I recall correctly, it's been a long time. But I remembered the title because Made to Stick is a book about how to get what you have in your mind across successfully into the minds and hearts of other people. How do you make it stick in their mind? How to transfer information? I titled yesterday's Surah Yusuf sitting Made to Stick Part 1. And today is Made to Stick Part 2. Why is it Made to Stick Part 1 and 2? Because we see Yusuf alayhi salam in the prison and he exercises phenomenal techniques in giving da'wah to these two inmates. To summarize for those who weren't here yesterday, very quickly, we had the details yesterday, but very quickly, Yusuf alayhi salam, when these two came to him for them to receive the interpretation of the dreams that they had. Remember, Allah tells us that when Yusuf went into the prison, there were two other people who went into the prison. One of them saw in his dream, he had bread on his head and birds were pecking at the bread on top of his head. And the other one saw, and Allah told us so eloquently, that he saw himself serving wine for the king. And then they went to Yusuf and they said, "Can you interpret this dream for us?" But why would they go to Yusuf? They don't know him. They don't know him. They've never met him before. How do they even know he can interpret dreams? Well, they tell him why they chose him. They say, "Inna naraka minal muhsinin." We see you from the one who does good. Subhanallah. That so quickly Allah teaches us the great character of Yusuf alayhi salam, the great mindset, the great heart set, the great soul set. We talk about having an IQ, which is the mindset, the PQ, which is the heart set, the SQ, which is the soul set, right? The EQ, which is the heart set. The PQ is the body set. Not only did Yusuf have a great PQ, he had, mashallah, he was beautiful, he had half of all beauty, but he was beautiful in his soul, in his mind, in his heart, that even though he's going through decades of tests, test after test, difficulty after difficulty, missing his family, everything that he's going through, and now his honor is at stake because these women threw him into the prison so that they could shut him up and maintain and protect themselves from another scandal and so on and so forth. So his honor is at stake. All of this is on his mind. But subhanallah, it's not defining him. He is defining the moment. And we said this yesterday, that a true believer is a believer that happens to things. Things don't happen to him. Things don't happen to her. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a believer to a space, and that space transforms because of the believer that's there. It's not a case that a believer goes to a place, a believer goes to a space, and that place sucks the life out of the believer, sucks the heart out of the believer, sucks the light out of the believer. That the believer remains in this space and slowly but surely becomes flat, subhanallah, like a battery that has its power drained. No, this is not the believer. Yusuf alayhi salam is teaching us that as long as you have Allah, you have everything. Whether they put you in prison, whether they sell you as a slave, they can't take Allah out of your heart. You have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have everything. Because He is the creator of everything. He is the owner of everything. He is the Lord of everything. You can have everything, but if you don't have Allah, you have nothing. Yusuf alayhi salam, it doesn't matter where he is. He has Allah, he has everything, and this is manifest in his actions. The reality of his EQ, his IQ, his SQ is present on his PQ. It's manifest that these people are seeing him as a good doer. They are coming and saying, "We see you as a good doer," which means what? As soon as Yusuf went into the prison, he was proactive. He was active. He was helping people. He was praying. He was reading. He was living a life of someone that's totally different to everyone else in the prison. That you have all these people, and then you have this one star, subhanallah. And these people are amongst the majority, looking at the minority, and they're inspired by him to the extent that they go to him and say, "Can you help us?" Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Yeah? So this is the reality of a believer. This is the reality of a believer. Yusuf alayhi salam, what did he do? He recognized immediately that they have come to him for something that they want to know. But there's something that they need to know that they're not asking about. They're asking about their dream and, "Can you help us understand this dream?" But they're not asking about Allah. They're not asking about Tawheed. And Yusuf can see that they're worshipping idols. So Yusuf alayhi salam, this is the made to stick techniques. He keeps them interested in him. He keeps their focus on him. He doesn't give them the bait. He doesn't give them what they want. He tells them the food won't come. He says that the ta'am, the food, the meal that we are about to have is not going to come, except that before it, I will tell you about about what you ask. And then he says, "And what I will tell you about what you ask is not from me, it's from that which Allah taught me." And then he says to them immediately, "You know what? You say I'm from the good doers," as if he's saying to them, "You see I'm from the good doers, إِنِّي تَرَكْتُ مِلَّةَ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ." He says, "I am from amongst those who have left the way of the majority. The majority are the people who don't believe in Allah and they're disbelievers. I have left that way. I am from the minority. You notice something different about me? You don't know what it is? Let me tell you what it is." Now, subhanallah, what has he done here? Phenomenally, he's grabbed their attention. He's grabbed their time and he has made them interested in him, that he has credentials that interest them. So now they're willing to listen to him. He's prepared the mind, he's prepared the heart to receive the instruction. And he goes for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he says to them, and we discussed this yesterday, وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. Subhanallah. He says, "I have followed the way of my forefathers, my grandfathers, Ibrahim wa Ishaq wa Yaqub, subhanAllah. He's telling them that I have an identity. I don't have an identity crisis. Yes, I grew up since I was 7, since I was 8, since I was an infant, in all different environments, in all sorts of surroundings, in all sorts of gatherings, in all sorts, with all sorts of practices. But you know what? I'm not confused in terms of who I am. I've never ever been confused. I am a prophet, the son of a prophet, the son of a prophet, the son of the prophet. I'm the Yusuf, the son of Yaqub, who are Nabi, who are Nabi. The son of Ishaq, who are Nabi. The son of Ibrahim, who are Nabi. This is who I am. This is my lineage. I know who I am. I am what I am. I'm clear about who I am. Subhanallah. I'm not doubting who I am. I'm not in this constant, you know, time wasting mechanism of trying to find myself. And that's what it is, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. When you're constantly trying to find your way, you don't know who you are. Do I fit in? Don't I fit in? Should I fit in? Shouldn't I fit in? You know what's happening? You're wasting time. Life is too short to make it shorter by doubting who you are. It's too short already. Yani, life is already short. And you are making it shorter by wasting time. We don't have the luxury to waste time. Submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكُنْ أَنْتَ أَنْتَ يعني, be who you are. And let the environments be who the environments are. As long as you know and you know that you know, do not allow people to walk into your head with their dirty feet. Have you heard this statement? Yani, because everyone has views about what you should do and what you shouldn't do. They have, when you go to university, why are you studying this? Why don't you study that? Why don't you take this subject? Why don't you take that subject? Yani, to read them to sajil bahthan, you want to write register a thesis. You should do this topic. Don't do that topic. Why did you do that topic? Yani, there's opinions everywhere. Everyone has opinions, right? Who you should marry, when you should marry, where you should marry, how you should marry, right? How many kids you should have. Yani, khalas, yani, everyone has opinions. If you, this character, who is defined by the trending views, then guess what? Trends come and they go. Which means you will come and you will go. And then you'll be in a cycle of trying to find yourself again. But what is static? The haqq, the Quran, the sunnah, the guidance. Subhanallah, Allah protected Yusuf. No doubt Allah protected him. But Allah told us why he protected him. Because he was from the sincere. So Allah chose him. إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ وَفِي قِرَاءَةً وَرِوَايَةً مُخْلِصِينَ فَكَانَ مُخْلِصًا فَصَارَ مُخْلَصًا. Subhanallah. He was a mukhlis, he was sincere. So Allah chose him. He became from the chosen. And when Allah chooses you, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفْ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns away immorality, sin from you. He blocks it away from you. He places impediments, obstacles in front of shaytan and his attack on you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this. So Yusuf alayhi salam is telling them, you want to listen to me because what I am about to tell you is the message of a person who knows who he is and he knows that he knows who he is. We always say knowledge, there's people, when they interact with knowledge, there are four types. The one who knows and he knows that he knows. There you are. سمعت هذا من قبل؟ بالعربية أو بالإنجليزية؟ There you are. He knows and he knows that he knows. He knows and he knows that he knows. This is Yusuf alayhi salam. And this is a scholar. This is the one you should learn from. Then you have the one who thinks he knows but he doesn't know. This is misguided miskin. This is a miskin, an impoverished, misguided person because he thinks he knows everything. She thinks she knows everything. You can never teach them anything because they already know. They don't know, but they think that they know. What can you teach this person? This is an ignorant person. In fact, some of the scholars have said, this is jahl murakkab. This is compounded ignorance. Subhanallah, it's the worst of the worst. Then you have a person who doesn't know and he knows that he doesn't know. And this is a talib, student. He doesn't know, and he knows that he doesn't know. So he's going to listen to you. Like these two people in the prison. In terms of the dream. Not in terms of their belief in aqidah. But Yusuf is going to correct the aqidah side of things. And then you have a person, and they're rare, but they do exist. People who know, but they don't know that they know. They know, but they don't know that they know. These are people who lack self-confidence. They know the answer, but they're scared. يعني يخافون من المشاركة. They doubt that they know. They feel, I'll put up my hand, I'll answer, but what if I'm wrong? Yani they have this sort of anxiety, and they lack this confidence, right? Yusuf alayhi salam is from those who knows, and he knows that he knows, and this is what the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam should be, that we know who we are. We are the servants of Allah. We are the followers of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We should know it, and we should know that we know it, and nothing should swerve us off it. And this is what shaitan's job is, to keep us guessing, to keep us thinking, to keep us guessing, cycle after cycle, so that you lose years from your life, and years from your life, and your gender doesn't reflect your presence. You must remember, if shaitan can't take you to Jahannam, he will reduce the quality of your Jannah. He won't just leave you. Shaitan won't just say, I lost this person, I can't stop him praying. No, he will reduce the quality of your salah. So he reduces your rewards, so he reduces your na'im fil Jannah, your blessings in Jannah. That's what he will do. Subhanallah. He will make you steal from yourself. How do you steal from yourself? You steal from your salah. How do you steal from your salah? By not fighting the distractions that stop the khushu', that is the key ingredient for your salah. And when your salah becomes weaker, then the salah cannot be the pillar of support to iman, to the pillar of faith, as the pillar of faith needs. Remember, Allah built iman, Islam, upon five pillars. He built faith upon five pillars. You have a foundational pillar, which is the shahada. Then Allah put four supporting pillars: the salah, the zakah, the fasting, and the hajj. But the strongest of these four supporting pillars is salah. That's why it's five times a day, every day. It constantly feeds support to this main pillar, so it doesn't erode, so it remains strong. If anything, it becomes stronger. It's as if when you pray five times a day, every day, this salah is taking water and pouring it on the concrete of the pillar of faith. When you pour water onto concrete, the concrete absorbs the water. Correct? Any builders here? What happens to after the concrete absorbs the water? Doesn't it get harder, more consolidated? This is the salah to your iman. This is the pillar of salah to the pillar of iman. But when shaitan steals from your salah, he reduces the quantity of water that you can pour onto the concrete of the pillar of your faith. And that's how he starts weakening your faith. Because remember, your faith has to last 60, 70, 80 years. It has to last. And it has to last with all forms of weather. It has to weather all forms of storms. Think about it. The storm of shubha, the storm of shahwa, the storm of following desires, and the storm of misconceptions. And the list of shahawat, following desires, are countless. And the list of shubuhat, misconceptions, are countless. And every day, in every minute, in every second, something is attacking, is beating against your foundational pillar of iman. Every day, the erosion is happening. So five times a day, you're pouring water and fixing it. It's like you panel beating it. You're keeping it. It's okay. Mafi mushkila. I'm winning. I'm still okay. It took away this percentage, we put it back. It took away that percentage, we put it back. Subhanallah. So shaitan will steal from your salah. He will make you steal from your salah. If he can't take you to Jahannam, he will allow you to pray. No doubt the prayer is the key to Jannah. But what will he do? He will steal from the prayer, so your rewards are reduced, which means your support to your pillar of faith is reduced, which means your iman is reduced, which means your deeds are reduced, which means your yaqeen in Allah is reduced, your certainty. All this reduction leads to a reduction in rewards. The reduction in rewards will lead to a reduction in the quality of your paradise. For him, it'll be a win, because he's seen Jannah, and he knows that there's al-Firdaus, and he knows that Allah has al-Firdaus for his chosen ones. So if he can't take you fully, he'll take you partially. Remember this. Anyway, it's a long discussion, this whole identity crisis thing. You know, it needs a lecture in and of itself, because today, unfortunately, subhanAllah, this is from my travels, from my experience with different communities. Unfortunately, this is shaitan's biggest weapon right now. Making the shabab, making the youth forget who they are. Forget their roots. Question their roots. Even though their roots are established upon haqq, the Quran and the Sunnah. Yes, question the way of your forefathers when it goes against common sense, when it goes against evidence. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran asks the Quraysh to do. Tells them, question the way of your forefathers. What if they were misguided? But you don't question the way of your forefathers when they're guided, when their actions are backed by evidence from the fitrah, backed by evidence from revelation, backed by evidence from sound intellect. يعني الأقل الصريح لا يعارض النص الصحيح, as is the principle that we have in Islam. That a pure mind cannot find itself contradicting authentic evidence. Can't. Impossible. Because this mind is from Allah and the evidence is from Allah. The source is one perfect source. وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. If it was from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would have found much contradiction. There can never be contradiction between a pure mind and authentic revelation. So Yusuf alayhi salam is establishing himself as a leader. And ultimately this is leadership. You cannot be a leader if you have an identity crisis. Mustahil. If you don't know who you are, where you came from, where you're going, you don't have a vision, my brother, my sister, you cannot be a leader. Yusuf is telling these people, I am going to tell you something, and you need to recognize it's coming from a leader. It's coming from an authority. You see how this is made to stick? If someone's talking to you and you don't trust them, you haven't extended trust, you imagine other things whilst they talk to you. Maybe you entertain them out of respect. يعني رجال يعني شكله محترم خلاص أستمع إليه يعني مو أستمع إليه يعني أسمع ما يقول لكن ما أستمع إليه يعني قلبي في مكان وفؤادي في مكان آخر ورأسي في مكان يعني sometimes you respect somebody. What happens? You say, let me just give him time out of respect. I will hear the words that comes out of his mouth, but I won't be listening to him. Right? It's how we interact with people. Why? We haven't extended trust to them. When you extend trust to somebody, then you're willing to listen to their advice. One of the ways through which trust is extended, especially in this day and age, is to lay down your credentials. You see this. You have someone who comes to you and he advises you, you don't know who he is, you don't listen to him. But the next day someone tells you, oh mashallah, that guy spoke to you. Do you know he's a professor in this? He's a consultant in that. You think, subhanallah, لازم يعني أراجع. I have to rethink what he told me. He told me to do this. We start listening. This is human nature. It's human nature. So people lay down their credentials and we extend trust accordingly. Yusuf alayhi salam has laid down his credentials. This is part of the mechanism in making information stick in the minds of other people, made to stick. What has he done? He's bought their time. Before he bought their time, he's behaved in a way that's allowed them to give him trust. They've come to him out of everybody else. And this is true because the speed of light is quicker than the speed of sound. Right? You always see the lightning before you hear the thunder. Is it كذلك? البرق قبل الرعد. صح ولا لا? يعني صعب. يعني في السعودية الأمطار ما تنزل بكثرة. The general rule is the lightning comes and then you hear the thunder. Because thunder is the sound of lightning. يعني سرعة, the speed of light is, this is physics. Who's a physician here? Who studied physics? Who's a physicist rather? Nobody? Anybody? There's a principle in physics. The speed of light is faster than the speed of sound. What do I mean by this from a da'wah perspective? From a da'wah perspective, people will see you before they hear you. If they don't like what they see, they won't extend trust to listen to what you have to say. For them to listen to you, they have to see something they like. That's how it is. That's why with the mashayikh, يعني, there's extra responsibility. You see? Even in the books of fiqh, sometimes they would say that the people of knowledge, the judges, for example, they should not eat in public. من خوارم المروءة, from bad manners, from that which reduces the station of a judge, of a scholar, is if he's eating in public. Back in the day, times have changed, but different norms. But the books of fiqh discuss this. Why? Because the person of knowledge has a greater responsibility in maintaining what people see. Subhanallah. Because if they don't like what they see, they will reduce the value of the Quran and the Sunnah that he will teach them. He will release to them knowledge that is pure, knowledge of value, but the container wasn't great. You know, it's like I give you, this is a bottle of water. MashaAllah. You drink it now. Look, why do they make the bottle? You think the water is blue? Look, it's blue. It looks blue, right? For those on camera, huh? They make the bottle. Do you know that? This is psychology. Yani they make the bottle slightly bluish so the water looks, mashallah, safi, huh? You want to drink. You open. You don't need a certificate. You trust. You extend trust. You open. It's all trust. We're talking about extension of trust. Why do you extend trust to this bottle of water? There's no certificate on it. I mean, anyone could print these labels. Why do you trust that there's water inside it? Anyone could write pure spring water. If I ask you now, is this spring water? You'll say yes. I'll say why? You say because it says pure spring water. That's what you'll say. That's what we all will say. Is it mutawatir? I mean, there's we just, everyone just, it's water. I have. You'll open it, you'll drink it. You won't think, what if it's poison? What if I die? Yeah, and death is a real fear for you, but you don't fear dying when you drink this, huh? Taib. If this water, if this bottle, if the same water inside, they wrote pure spring water, right? MashaAllah. Okay, pure spring water. And it was the same water, but the bottle looked rusty, looked dirty, looked like it came from the lavatory. May Allah preserve you all. Ya Allah, will you drink it? Tfaddal. Who's going to drink it? Let's be honest. Because the container, غير مناسب. غير مناسب. The container isn't suitable. It stopped you from extending trust to that which was inside. It stopped you extending trust to pure spring water that's written on the bottle. Correct or not? Right. This is why even with the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, حسنوا أصواتكم فإن صوت الحسن يزيد القرآن حسنا. The Quran's meanings are beautiful. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, beautify your voice when you recite the Quran. Because your voice is the container for the Quran. Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimahullah used to say, the former Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia rahimahullah, he used to say, subhanallah, this Quran is kalam of Allah. It's the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Laysa kadhalik? Right? It's the words of Allah. If an old man with a grumpy voice recited the Quran on a speaker and it hurt people's ears, will people listen to the Quran? They'll block the ears and run away. صح ولا لا? Not correct? Say, يا أخي صوت مزعج. لكن هذا كلام الله. لكن ماذا حصل? It's the words of Allah, but the container that it came to you in wasn't subhanallah, munasib, it wasn't suitable. Take a young boy who doesn't understand the Quran, but he reads it in a beautiful voice. يعني بأداء جميل, with an articulation that is beautiful. What happens? Even an elderly person will listen to this child read the Quran. Because it sounds beautiful, isn't it? And how many people have accepted Islam because they were in a hospital and next to them was a person reciting the Quran with a beautiful voice, or they were listening to a qari who had a beautiful voice and they became interested. They didn't know it was the Quran. SubhanAllah, I heard a story recently of a person whose neighbor came to him, and mashallah, he used to play his Quran a bit loud. Whether you should play the Quran loud, this is another matter. We shouldn't disturb people. But you know, he used to play his Quran loud. So the neighbor came to him and said, this music is really cool, ya akhi. This is cool music. So he said, yeah. He didn't say anything. He said, I need this. So he gave it to him. He gave him the surah with the sheikh. And he's listening to it. He thinks it's music. After some time, he said, this can't be music. Subhanallah, shuf al-Quran. The Quran, it transforms you. Whether you want to be transformed or not, you listen to it. It will always make you a better person than you were before you started. This is the Quran. It's amazing. Some people, they're going through extreme depression, they're going through difficulty, they listen to the Quran, they feel like they can breathe after. They can't explain it, but it's done something to them. This neighbor, non-Muslim neighbor, listen to the Quran, listen, thinking it's music. After some time, they started doubting that this can't be music. They started researching, they found out it's scripture. They researched some more, they found out it's the Quran. They started reading the Quran, they accepted Islam. Subhanallah. Umuman, that's a footnote to this, but the point is, you have to walk the talk. You have to manage yourself. And our scholars even tell us, you are the imam of the masjid, you are the khatib of the masjid, you are the qadi. Ya akhi, tashakhas zain yani. You have to dress properly. يعني خلي الشماغ مضبوط يعني you can't go with unironed clothes and you know the tea mark there and the tamar mark there and the gahwa mark there and people see you يعني you're trying to be humble. No, but now you're misrepresenting the knowledge that you have, especially in a day and age. We live in a day and age where the personality trait is on steroids. Let's be honest, there's two traits. You have the personality trait and you have the character trait. The character trait is who you are. Who you are. يعني الشخص الحقيقي. Your reality. Who you are. That's the character trait. The personality trait is who you show people you are. You get some people, mashallah, they come, hair murattab, huh? The hair is combed, sharp. The clothes are sharp. Huh? They wear their cufflinks, the tie, everything is sharp. And you think, this person, he must be super precise, precision, clean. But if you go into his car, dirty. Everything's all over the place. You go to his house, the drawers, filthy. The bedrooms, everything's untidy. Clothes here, clothes there, not in its place. Ah, you see, but nobody can see how his car is. And some people tint the car very dark, huh? Make dark windows so nobody can see inside. Nobody can see his car. Nobody can see his home. So who cares? If he knew that people will judge him by looking at his car, he'll have his car clean. The person who has character trait, they are clean by default. They don't try and do things to make an impression. This is the social media age, the filters age. Yeah? Everything is filter. You go Instagram, there's a filter. And there's a filter. Yeah? The camera, smartphone has a filter. You put a filter. Yeah? Why do you have filters? Ulesh. What are you filtering out? You're filtering what you don't want people to see. That's what a filter is. Everybody is there, you know, and subhanAllah, I'm traveling. I see this at the airport. I see this at the in the plane, you know. They take the picture, this side, no, this side's better. Huh? Then they take the picture, they look, nah, it's not good. Then they have to fix themselves. Then they take the, ya miskin. I need 10 minutes, 15 minutes. 20 minutes, Surah Wahida. Then they are playing with the filters. What can I do? The guy is next to me. The person is next to me. And he's not hiding, he's doing it. Even if you don't want to look, you have to see what he is doing. This is what people are wasting their time on the show. Then when COVID came, from the front filter, we got the back filter. They gave you filters for your back. And you go on Zoom, mashallah, where's this person, ya akhi, mashallah, in the Bait Jadid, you have a new house, mashallah, he put a green screen, and Zoom gives you this, I don't know if you guys saw this Zoom thing, huh? One guy is on space, one guy is on the beach in the Bahamas, khalas, front filter and back filter, what more do you want? Umuman, this is just on a lighter note, the point is, we live in this personality age, where everything is a show. So, if you have the haqq and you don't look the part, who's going to take it from you? Who is going to take it from you? Now, I'm not preaching extravagance. I'm not preaching you need to make money through haram means because you need to buy nice clothes, etc. No, within your means. Whatever you have, but wear it, give it its haqq. Give it its haqq. If whatever you have, no matter how old your shirt is, but if you wear it, give it its haqq. Especially if you're a da'i. Especially if people see you as a Muslim. It's very important. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he is hearing testimony from them that we have come to you, inna naraka, we see you, min al-muhsinin. We see you as someone who is of caliber, of stature, from the doers of good. So they gave him trust. Then he built on that. He got more trust from them. He laid down to them his identity. And then he built more trust by laying down to them his credentials in a humble way. He's not doing it in a cringeworthy way. Sometimes we do things in a cringeworthy way. I am and I am and I am. I have this and I have that. Wa indi yani akmalt dawrat kadha wa kam magister indi wa I have so many master's degrees. I have I this is, sometimes this doesn't rub people the right way. People feel that this person is arrogant, he's trying to show off. Yusuf is doing it in a beautiful way. He said, وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ أَبَائِي. He's telling them in action that, you know, by the way, I followed the way of my forefathers, and my forefathers were prophets. So it's so beautiful, subhanAllah. Now he's built these credentials. He goes on to teach them that, you know, my forefathers, he doesn't say me, huh? He says my forefathers. He doesn't say me, he says my forefathers. He says, مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ. He goes, we never ever used to associate partners with Allah. This is Tawheed. Yani, they came to him for a dream interpretation. He is saying to them, you want something from me, but you actually need something from me. And before I give you what you want, I'm going to give you what you need. عرفت الفرق بين need and want? You know the difference? Want, يعني رغبة. Need, يعني حاجة. الحاجة يعني أكبر منزلة من رغبة. أليس كذلك؟ يعني أنا أرغب لكن أنا في حاجة. There's a difference. Here, Yusuf is telling them, you need something, you want something from me, but there's something you need. I'm going to give you what you need before you want something. And this is from the methodology of a mufti, the methodology of a da'i. And I said this, I shared an example yesterday about the people on the sea. Right? It's good we can repeat because people were pretty tired yesterday. I don't know, it's the holidays. I was going to say, are people partying too hard? But you can't be partying, it's Ramadan. So khalas, we'll repeat it inshallah. Remember when we said the seamen came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who work on the sea, the seamen, right? They work on the sea. They said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna narkabul bahra." We are sailors. We traverse the seas, and we have limited water supply. Limited water supply. In tawadda'na atishna. If we perform wudu with the water that we have, we will be thirsty, because we won't have water to drink. And we can't drink the water of the sea because the water of the sea is salty. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to them? They came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a want. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognized that they also need to know something that they're not asking about. So what did he say to them? He said, هُوَ الطَّهُورُ مَاؤُهُ الْحِلُّ مَيْتَتُهُ. He said, the water of the sea is tahur. It's suitable for you to use for wudu. And the dead fish of the sea is halal for you to eat as well. If you guys are on the sea, you're saying you get thirsty, you might get hungry one day. And I'll be far away from you. And if you're hungry, you could die out of hunger. There's a knowledge that you need that you're not asking about. You're talking about water. What happens if you run out of food? هذا من فقه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقه النبوة. This is from the fiqh of a prophet. And this is studied in Rasm al-Mufti, in the books that tell you how to do fatwa, when you study Sharia, when you study the books of Usul al-Fiqh, and they talk about Bab al-Mufti wal-Mustafti, the Mufti and the seeker of the fatwa, and the rules and etiquettes and guidelines that govern that relationship, they teach you this. That the Mufti has to look at things not just from the micro perspective, but from the macro perspective. That when the Mustafti comes to you, he's asking you about a micro matter, right? But you need to understand his situation so you can see that micro from the macro perspective as well, so you can be complete in the guidance that you offer him. This is how the Quran teaches us anyway. And this is important for parents to know as well. A lot of the times our children come to us, obviously at the micro level. They come to us with specifics. But parenting needs that you take out the time to analyze the source of the question that they have. So you can tap into the macro environment through which the micro question came about from. And accordingly, you can teach them what they want to know and also what they need to know. And that's why you have to give your children time. You can't just be multitasking in raising when you raise them. That you're doing something and they came and they asked you the question and you just said, yeah, okay, and yeah, or because, or you gave them a half-baked answer. or even a full answer, but it's always going to be half-baked if you didn't tap into the cause for their question. Because they have that mind that deserves that application. And they are your ra'iyyah. Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyyati. The ra'iyyah, the flock of a scholar, are those who come to the scholar and seek guidance. The flock of a parent are the children of those parents. So a parent to the children, the relationship is similar to the relationship of a mufti to the mustafti. Do you see this? So Yusuf alayhi salam is giving them what they want, but before he gives them what they want, he's giving them what they need. Why is he giving them what they need first? Ah, this is fiqh as well. What's happening here, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam? Yusuf knows, if I give these people what they want, they'll go. Khalas. فاتتني الفرصة. فاتتني الفرصة. The fursa has gone. So Yusuf alayhi salam is holding on what they want, so they stay to get what they need. وهذا من فقه الرجل as well. This is from how you interact with people, making your ideas stick with them. Sometimes you can give them what they want and then give them what they need. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did with the sailors. He gave them what they wanted. فَهُوَ الطَّهُورُ مَاؤُهُ. He answered the question. أَفَنَتَوَضَّأُ يعني إِن تَوَضَّأْنَا بِهِ عَطِشْنَا أَفَنَتَوَضَّأُ بِمَاءِ الْبَحْرِ قَالْ هُوَ الطَّهُورُ مَاؤُهُ. He answered they want first, and then he gave them what they needed after. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't fear these people leaving him after he gave them what they wanted. Correct? Ahsant. You guys are with me today. But Yusuf's situation is different. Yusuf is dealing with people who can't be bothered about Allah, etc. They are already in their, on their misguidance, and they're in a prison, high stress environment. You know, if I tell them the interpretation of the dream, one guy is going to be killed. That's what's going to happen. He's not going to listen to the da'wah tawheed. He's going to be stressed about death penalty, about what the hukm al-qadi, what's the judge going to rule. So he's, whilst in the home, yani they have a nafsawi, they have a settled demeanor, they are in the mode for conversation. He teaches them about tawheed. He says, مَا كَانَ لَنَا نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We never ever associated partners with Allah. And he says, مِنْ شَيْءٍ, subhanAllah. He didn't just say, مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ. We never ever associated partners with Allah. He says, we never ever in the minutest form associated partners with Allah. مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Even in the smallest form, it's non-existent in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That even this da'wah that I'm giving you, I'm doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even me talking to you right now, I'm doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is ibadah, is for Allah. As if he's highlighting to them, وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. I'm not asking you for compensation. I'm not asking you to pay me after I have the sitting with you. This is not a consultation session. You know, say I'm booking an advisory session. I'm booking a consultation session. How much does it cost? No, there's no cost here. I don't want any favors from you. You know, in prison they do favors. Okay, I'll do this for you, but you need to do me a favor. Which connections do you have? Which guards do you know? You know, it's the prison culture. May Allah save us from it. May Allah save us from it, and for our brothers and sisters who are in it, may Allah give them thabat and guidance and remove them from that difficulty. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. But what happens when you're in the prison? You have to survive. So Yusuf is immediately telling them, Min Shay, what I am telling you is beloved advice from a brother to a brother. Meaning from a brother to you, from a human being to a human being. There's no ulterior motives here, because this is ibadah for me. This is da'wah for me. And me and my forefathers, we never ever associate partners with Allah. We never associate even money with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't worship Allah for the sake of money. We worship Allah for the sake of Allah. And this is important. The scholars talk about even those, for example, in the books of fiqh, those who do hajj badal, those who go and do hajj niyabatan on behalf of somebody else. So they get paid to go for hajj, right? So they'd have this discussion. من يأخذ لأجل أن يحج أو من يحج لأجل الكسب ومن يأخذ لأجل أن يحج. There's a difference. between the person who does Hajj for money and the person who takes money to go for Hajj. It's a discussion between the scholars. That you cannot say I'm doing Hajj primarily as a business. I mean, this is, I'm going to, you know, pay me to go do Hajj for you. No. Well, your intention is null and void. Batil. Min asli. لِأَنَّ النِّيَّةُ وَالْقَصْدِ. Your intention is about intent. And your intent has to be about Allah, not money. But this is a side discussion just to make you understand how Yusuf has built all this trust. And even in the process, he's introducing Allah to them. He's introducing the Rabb to them. He's introducing Allah as one to them. That subhanAllah, after saying this, now they're interested. They have questions. They have ideas. Yusuf alayhi salam goes on to say, ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ. SubhanAllah. Ya akhi, wallahi, we need 2 hours yani, here. This topic. I'm afraid if I come back tomorrow, I have to summarize because there'll be new faces here and they won't pick up what we're saying. La ilaha illallah. You can write a book on this. Sarahatan, you can write a book. The techniques of transferring ideas to people from Surah Yusuf. It's a bahth. Because look, after he subtly introduced them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember he's building trust. All this time, if you think he's doing da'wah, he is doing da'wah, but he's doing it so eloquently. Primarily what he's doing here is building trust. He's building trust. He's building. The da'wah is coming. Yani baqi ya sahiba yusijin arbabu muta. It's coming. The da'wah is coming. Right now he's building trust. And in this format, he's introducing them to Allah and a lot of ideas. And guess what? He comes in with, I don't know what you can call it. And you want to call this the left hook, the you know, the knockout punch. Huh? He says, ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. He says, subhanAllah, you know this thing I'm telling you about? You know, today people talk about, what's the thing people run by? Crypto. And this is where everyone needs to be. You create this FOMO. You know what FOMO is? FOMO. Fear of missing out. Hey, na'am, don't think I dress like this. I'm متخلف يعني backwards. نحن نفهم. We know the language of the Shabab. FOMO, huh? Fear of missing out. He's creating FOMO here. Yusuf is creating a sense of FOMO. That's what he's doing. You know, people say, this crypto you have to buy, and they drive up interest, and then people start buying, and then the price goes up. Because nobody understands it, but they just don't want to lose out. Yusuf alayhi salam is creating a sense of FOMO here. He's saying, guys, this thing that I'm telling you about is from the blessings of Allah upon me and the people, the select people. But you know what? Most of mankind, they don't know. What do people do now when they come to you and try and sell you some shares, sell you some NFT, sell you some cryptocurrency? What do they come to you? They say, listen, before people, come on, you get in. Huh? You get in now, buy it now, before the rush comes, you benefit now, because once the rush comes, the price is going to go up, you're going to lose out. This is what people do. You create urgency, right? We spoke about creating urgency to stop people procrastinating. Allahu Akbar. This is like from Allah, because it's connected. I was concerned my introduction on Laylatul Qadr was too long. But now we can connect that introduction to this. I told you to help you search for Laylatul Qadr, create urgency. Yusuf alayhi salam is creating urgency. Made to stick. You are keeping their prefrontal cortex on you. Do you know what the prefrontal cortex is? PFC. The prefrontal cortex is the front part of your brain. It is where active thinking takes place. When you're doing da'wah to people, you want to keep the focus of the prefrontal cortex on you. Na'am. It's where active thinking takes place. And the prefrontal cortex, guess what? Is clearly, quickly distracted. Because it cannot hold more than 3 or 4 active thoughts at one time. And that's for a trained mind. A trained mind may be 4 or 5 active thoughts at once. If you think, if your prefrontal cortex, let's say it can hold 4 things, and it's full, and you bring a 5th thing into your mind, one of these 4 things is going to go. You see this, it happens to us. Sometimes we're talking, and what was I saying? SubhanAllah. Sometimes we're looking for our keys. We go into a room. Why did I come here? Oh yeah, my keys. What's happening at that moment? You allowed something else into your prefrontal cortex and something gave way. But because it fell just here, you can pick it up quickly and you can remember. Say, oh, my keys. But when you did that, something else fell out. But it's quickly retrievable because it's around you. Think of the prefrontal cortex as the size of this table. How many shabab can we put on this table? Any three people? How many people can stand here? Maybe three, huh? And they'll be squashed. Huh? This is a pretty small table. Three people, and maybe one guy will be almost falling there, so the other two will be holding him. And that guy will be falling, and the guy in the middle is holding them together. Tayyib. Let's say the fourth guy jumps on the table. What's going to happen? Someone is going to fall off, isn't it? But he's going to fall off just here. Just here. You know who fell off. You can bring him back. But for him to come back, someone else has to fall off. Isn't it? So that's why you can retrieve it quickly, because it's just here. But if you give it some time, khalas, it will be far away, 10 kilometers away. Then you'll be thinking, what was I thinking about? Now it's ba'id now, it's hard for you to recollect. Umuman, the prefrontal cortex is where active thinking takes place. When you teach people, you need to keep their PFC engaged, the prefrontal cortex. When you give da'wah to people, you have to keep the PFC engaged. And that's why when I teach, I don't like distractions. In the age of the camera, it happens. I'm in a classroom, I'm teaching, and then something happens to the camera, people start focusing on the cameraman is doing his thing, everybody stops looking at me, they start looking at him. It happens. I'm sure you guys are victims of this as well. You've been in a lesson, and something happens, and you're in a lesson, and your phone beeps, my phone. Or your watch, now my mushkila, smartwatch. Huh? Even in the salah, akhi. Huh? I used to say this to the people. They say, Sheikh, I have a smartwatch. I say, how do you pray? What do you mean? They didn't even think about it. They didn't even think about it, ya akhi. That you have to keep your prefrontal cortex, focus on your salah. When this thing starts going in your salah, you are thinking, which salah am I praying? The dhuhr or asr? Taib, which raka'ah am I in? Two or three? Taib, which surah am I reading? Huh? Wala asr wa inna atainak al-kawthar. Which surah? Already you are thinking of so many things. Then your phone goes zzz, zzz. Now you're thinking, what's on the phone? Who could be messaging me? Who could be calling me? Ah, now you're thinking, la ilaha illallah. Am I in the second rak'ah or am I in the third rak'ah? Allah yahdik ya akhi. You are praying your salah with distractions. At least switch that, put it on silent mode, isn't it? There's a feature on the phone that can shut down all notifications. For your salah, switch off the Bluetooth. Don't have the distractions. Umuman, Yusuf alayhi salam is teaching us, ya akhi, min qabl zaman al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We always talk about 1400 years ago. From the time of Yusuf, he's teaching us about the prefrontal cortex and keeping it engaged, especially when you teach people about Allah. He's creating FOMO, that guys, this is the jackpot here. This is the tharwa. This is where it is. This is ultimate success. Get in quickly. Get in soon. Before you lose out. ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Most people are unthankful, meaning most people are ungrateful, meaning most people don't know. Most people don't know this darwa. It's like when they say, when people, the people who bit Bitcoin in 2008 or 2009 or 2010, يعني حينما لم يكو شيئا, when it was nothing, when Bitcoin suddenly became something, they were smiling. Huh? Somebody had like 50 Bitcoins. Somebody was telling me, ya Sheikh, I have Bitcoins locked in an old computer. The hard drive, I can't switch it on. Allahu al-musta'an. I never used to think about it. He was into computers. Yeah, and he just for fun bought some Bitcoins. Imagine. But he didn't think it would ever be anything. And the hard disk is khalas. The hard disk cannot be revived. I said, subhanallah. I said, that's qaddar Allah ma sha'a fa'al. You will only eat from the rizq that Allah has written for you. And we have some people, mashallah, who had it, subhanallah, they had 5 coins, and that was it. And subhanallah, then it started selling for $50,000 per coin. Suddenly, he buys himself a house with 5 bitcoins that he got for like $5 or $2.5. This is, anyway, we are digressing. FOMO, that's the point. You want to get people in. You got to present the deen, ya akhi. You got to bring it to them on a platter. You got to bring the meal to them with the smoke coming out. You know, they talk about, mashallah, wherever I go, people talk about the biryani. They say, Allah, biryani, because it has aromas. And But when you serve the biryani and it's not piping hot, does it taste the same like when it's piping hot? No. Why? When it's piping hot and the smoke is coming out, your nose is smelling, subhanAllah. Look, we're not fasting, so we can. MashaAllah, they're watching live, they must be fasting. Yeah. People in the western part of the globe are watching. Allahu mustan. We ask their forgiveness. But we have to talk to the people here before we talk to the virtual people. Sah? It's part of da'wah as well. Sometimes, subhanAllah, we talk to people on the phone and the guy in front of us, we make him wait. Yani, indana shakhs hadir amamana, wa naqul ya akhi ma'alesh. Assalamu alaikum. The guy is in front of us, we say, just wait and we take the phone call. No, this is bad manners. Give the people in front of you precedence over the people who are far away. You see my prefrontal cortex got distorted now. What was I talking about? About the biryani. So when you smell the biryani, akhi, doesn't it make the biryani taste better? Someone was telling me just the other day, who was it, Tahir? We were talking about this. Huh? Sah? Well, we're not together and we had this conversation. I'm trying to think. Very recently we had this conversation that, oh no, someone was telling me in Sydney, subhanAllah, in Sydney, that Sheikh, your body knows when it's time to eat. Because when it sees food, when it sees the food, then the brain reacts, releasing the saliva and all the necessary taste components. So you have the desire to eat the food. Ah. Okay. So when you serve the biryani, how should you serve it? You want to serve it in a way that creates desire. Yusuf alayhi salam is serving the da'wah with the, mashallah, the aromas, with the smoke, with the scents, so that it makes their mind, makes their heart, makes their emotions, makes their senses want to partake of this nasiha. Are you with me, Jama'ah? I lost somebody to the jawal just now. Dars sar tawil. Our dars has gone too long today, but ma'alesh, just bear with me. I have to get through this, otherwise I will have to repeat it tomorrow. Yusuf alayhi salam says, Ya sahibai sijin, al-an ad-da'wa badat. You can say ad-da'wa al-mubashira. First it was da'wah, but non-direct da'wah. Now it's direct da'wah. Ya sahibai sijin. Look how beautifully he addresses them. With adab, with respect. Huh? Allowing them to give him more trust. He doesn't go to them, oh criminals, ya mujrimun. No, he didn't say ya mujrimun. Ya sahibai sijin. Oh companions of the prison. Ma ra'yuk. Ma ra'yuk. Yeah, I told you we need a book from this. Made to stick. Huh? He's making the message stick. Ya sahib al-sijin, O companions of the prison. A'arbabun mutafarriqun. He says, are many gods better? O worshipping Allah al-Wahid al-Qahar. Allah who is the one, the irresistible. Which is better? Now, Yusuf alayhi salam knows the answer. Alaysa kadhalik? Yusuf knows worshipping one Allah is better than worshipping many gods. So is Yusuf asking them a question? No, he's not. This is called a rhetorical question. A rhetorical question. When you ask a question to make somebody think that he's so perfect in his da'wah, he's telling them, you've extended to me trust, I'm going to extend to you trust. I see you as intelligent people who have the faculty to realize the error of their ways. I don't have to spell it out for you. You know the answer. But I'm going to give you a trigger to help you reach this answer that you need. He gives them a trigger. He poses to them a rhetorical question. And then he says, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِهِ. What you worship, the things that you worship other than Allah, are nothing besides names. سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا, that you named them, أَنْتُمْ, you and your forefathers, أَبَاؤُكُمْ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانِ, the true Allah who deserves to be worshipped, he didn't send any evidence for this. Now he's becoming prescriptive. Sometimes you have to be prescriptive. Sometimes you can advise, but sometimes you need to prescribe. Now he's not prescribing, he is prescribing, but in a very diligent way. You could say he's criticizing, but can you see how this criticism will be received? This criticism will be received in such a subtle way. Why? Because of how he built his kayan, his structure for his da'wah is so solid that when he criticizes, He's talking to people who trust him, they will give him husnul dhan. They will see it, they will see the best side of what he's saying and not see it as an attack to them. Can you see this? He's criticizing. He goes, whatever you're worshipping is nothing but names. If he didn't have this introduction before he said this, they would say, you are insulting our gods. That's what they would say. We're not going to listen to you. You're insulting our forefathers. We're not going to listen to you. But they receive it, يعني بشرح الصدر. Huh? They receive it with an open heart. Why? Because he's built his courses in how he's serving his da'wah. Then he says, إن الحكم إلا لله. He says, the sharia, the law of Allah is only for Allah. Only Allah can legislate. Only Allah can legislate. I'm telling you that what you worship has no evidence. Allah has sent no evidence. And I'm also telling you that only the Allah who deserves to be worshipped, He is the Allah who can tell, who can give us the hukum, who can give us the rules, who can tell us what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And then he says, if this is Allah, and this is what Allah can do, أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّا Allah has commanded that you worship nothing but Him. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ This is the true deen. This is the deen of value. The deen, this is the way of value. This is the subscription of value. And then he says, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ But most of man know not. Inshallah, we'll end here. When we come back tomorrow, we'll talk about trends and then we'll go into Yusuf's interpretation of the dream. Jazakumullahu khairan for your patience, my dearest brothers and sisters in Islam. Perhaps this is part of the training for the last 10 of Ramadan. The long sitting is part of the training, inshallah, for what is to come tomorrow night, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in terms of all the ibadah we will plan tonight to do, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us in His obedience. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with better than we dream of in both worlds. Ameen. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Hada wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.